purpose. It's the thing that everyone is seeking to find. We see it on social media, TV, even in churches. Everyone is telling you to achieve your purpose and fulfill your destiny. If that was the case, then why do I still feel lost? You would think with the hundreds of self-help books, videos, and articles that we would all feel like we have found our purpose by now. But maybe the problem is that we are attempting to manufacture purpose in our lives, at least our idea of what that word even means. The purpose that we seek in the world will inevitably leave us empty. But the people of God are not void of purpose. While we seek purpose in the things of this world, God has already told us what our purpose is. It's to be ambassadors for Christ and agents for the gospel. So we ought to live like we have a reason to be alive, church, because we do. We ought to live life on purpose.
But today we start off a brand new series called Life on Purpose. Everybody say, today. Well, today I get to talk about the most important thing about you. Do you know what that is, CJ? No, you're like, it's my truck, right? It's my beautiful truck, right? Like many times, how you doing, Ron? I'm blocking you from leaving, all right? And so many times, like, what would you say is the most important thing about you? Like, what over here on this side of the room, on the right side? What you got back there? Is it the beard? Is it the beard, Mr. Mike? I mean, that's getting pretty big. You're doing pretty good back there, right? His wife's just smiling. So is it the beard? What about this section? What do you guys think? The most important thing about you? Oh, those two beautiful girls, right? Oh, all right. What about this section? Excess energy drinks? Right? Yeah. that's what I'm seeing right here. Like they're all just like, hey, this is good, right? But the most important thing about you? Well, today I start with just a simple question that's simply, who are you, right? Who are you really? Like when you think about who you are, when we talk about life on purpose, each and every one of us wake up every day getting ready to do life. And sometimes it's, right? Right, Mr. Cummins, right? Oh, it's Monday. Oh, I gotta go back to school. Oh my, I gotta go to work, right? We get up and I wonder how many of us think about this, who we are. I mean, we get started off this morning with just some teen slang for our students that are in the room, right? And let's see if I get any of these words right or if I'm too cringe up here. But in a world that slang changes faster than a Wi-Fi password, right? Teens are constantly reinventing how they talk. They're changing, and this isn't new. This has happened for each and every generation, and you know those people that are still like talking about how it snaps and how everything's da bomb and how everything's tight. Like, you know, some of you know those words and what they meant. Well, one week now, things can be slaying or bussing, but the next week it can be chungy? Oh, sorry. Chungy. That doesn't even make any sense. I go through these words. Like, that's kind of mid, right? Like, that's just not there. Like, there's the phrase main character energy, right? Like, you got that main character energy, right? Like, there's all these types of things that mean, and not only is there just the pressure to wake up each and every day, but now you got to know what all these things mean. You've got to keep up with every single trend, knowing if it's good, knowing if it's bad. But I'm wondering if when we talk about who we are, because when we don't know who we are, or better yet, whose we are, we try to be everything to everyone else. We try to fit in, we try to use the words that make us sound cool, we try to dress the part, right? And I would love to say that this stops in high school, right? But our identity, right? Would it be okay to say you're not your era? Or you're really not your Finsta, right? You're not your fit, you're not your Riz. You're not just what people say about you online, or how many likes your girl dinner gets. All those words aside, you're a child of God. And nobody has to change the words for what that means. You don't have to call it something else when you belong to Jesus. When you understand that you're created on purpose for a purpose, you don't have to chase a trend to be accepted. Your worth isn't up for debate. You realize that it was settled on a cross. So when the world says, that ain't it, Chief, God says you're mine. When a culture just tells you to go touch grass, God says, come and walk with me. See, the fact is, Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. See, when you know who you are and whose you are, you're not easily swayed by what's trending. You live with a purpose, not just for clout, but for a kingdom. Knowing who you are starts over there in the nursery. Through each and every age, your children are being discipled. Your children are being taught about a God that loves them, that cares about them. And they're surrounded by a church that does the same. There were so many different crews that came in all summer long. And even starting over a year and a half ago with dismantling what the Ziegler Subaru donated to us as a church. But then we had to erect or set it back together and figure out how all the pieces and the puzzle could go back together. But night after night, person after person showed up, whether it was to put on a zip tie or to put on a bolt, to invest in the next generation. Because some of you are those people, and you know the plans and the purpose that God has for them. You know the future. You're looking forward to what's ahead. And I think if we're ever going to live life on purpose, I believe it's more than any of us know. Knowing who you are. Students, you're going to have plenty of people up and down a hallway trying to tell you. They're going to try to put a label on you this week. But don't worry, that doesn't ever stop. Actually, by the time you're 18, that's barely just getting started. It happens time after time, every time you clock in, every time you drive down the road, every time you sit at the light and look at somebody else's car or they look at yours. There's a label that this culture tries to place on us. There was a study by JobSage that stated that 70% of people say that they fake their personality just to fit in at work, at school, or even at church. That we'll dress a certain way, we'll talk a certain way, we'll act a certain way. And I got to tell you, I've been guilty of this. My wife may remember the time we were out at Columbian Park. We just did a prayer walk from downtown all the way to Columbian Park. And we were surrounded with people that had a different pigmentation on their skin than I. And they talked with a little bit more soul and a little bit more passion and a little bit more excitement and a little bit more volume. And I started to follow right along. I got swept up in it. I was hanging out with them all day long and enjoying. I played some bass with them, right? Moody, like you get that groove on, you get that bass on, and you can just become a whole nother person. And that's exactly what I did. By the time my wife came up, she couldn't tell what color I was. she walked up and she was like, what is going on with you, Billy? Like, you're up there, you're preaching, right? Like this is, I don't know who you are today. But if 70% of people say that they fake their personality just to fit in, do you wonder why people feel so empty? If we're changing who we are just to become accepted by other people? See, the truth that I came to preach, the truth that I came to talk about today, as we talk about living life on purpose, I believe the very first thing that we've got to know, the very first thing that we've got to understand, the most important thing is that God made you. God made you. He made you to love, right? He made you. Made you to love and to be loved. Let me say it again for the person who's already forgot it. God made you on purpose, for a purpose. And I believe it starts with his love. You were chosen on purpose. Ephesians 1:4 says, he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Maybe today you're following along in the app, and I actually didn't put the fill in the blanks for you so that you would have to fill them in yourself, so that you could type them in, so that you could follow along. If you don't have the app, you can scan the QR code that's in front of you, and you can type in and actually put in notes of what God's saying even more than this crazy bald guy up here. But if you're a type A person like me, you're ready to fill in that notes. That first point is that you were chosen on purpose. And that's not just church talk here today. That's not just like, oh, that sounds good. Oh, that makes me feel bubbly inside. But before God made oceans, before God made galaxies, before God made sunsets or even summer break, right? He thought of you. That he picked you. He was like, all right, Jackson. All right. Jackson's going to be a special kind of guy, right? And so I'm going to shape him. I'm going to form him. But you know what? He's not going to be in the 1700s. No, he's not going to be in the 1300s. No, I need him to be a part of that 20th century, that 21st. I need him to be right where he is on 2025. And so that means he's going to be born here. These are going to be his parents. This is going to be the makeup of his DNA. These are the things while I'm forming him in his womb that I'm going to place inside of him to get him ready for not just 2025, but for 2045. This is who I'm shaping him and making him to be, because the world is going to need Jackson 2025. See, some of us have been told that maybe you're an accident. You're an extra. You're oops. I'm here to say you're not any of that. You're God's idea. He's the one. Like your parents, they could have done whatever they wanted, but they were not stopping you from being here because God's plans were to have you here. He's not surprised by you. Your parents could have been, but not God. He's invested in you. When we look at his scriptures, he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Parents, some of your kids are going into schools where the world is going to try hard to tell them you're not enough, right? You're not enough unless you have these shoes, unless you have these clothes, unless you have these talents, unless you make these grades. You're not enough. You don't matter. You've got to be more. You've got to do this to fit in. You've got to dress like that. You've got to tell them. If we don't tell them the truth about who they are before the world tells them, then guess who wins? Grandparents, your prayers, your encouragements, your stories of faith, how you've seen God show up in your life has shaped your identity, it will help shape theirs as well. To know that they're serving and following after the same God. To know and to hear the stories that you have. Let's make sure that they know that they're chosen before they're ever challenged. You were chosen on purpose. The second point, if you're following along and filling in the blanks, is that you were created to love and to be loved. Matthew 22:37-38 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. I don't know if you've ever come across that verse, but Jesus didn't say that the most important thing is to behave better. If you're just the better person, if you would just behave a little bit better, if you just get your act together. No, he didn't say follow the rules. He said love God with everything that you are, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with everything. See, he says this because the Christian life isn't about a religion. There's plenty of those, and they're all around the world. It's about a relationship. And that love starts with God. In 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because he loved us first. How many of you guys know that he loved us first? While we were still sinners, while we were still jacked up. And do anybody remember their first love? Anybody remember that first love? Anybody? Nobody? Or you're like, my wife's next to me, man. I can't raise my hand. I know. It's there. You know, I thought my first love was Heather Bumpus in kindergarten. I do, that's what I thought that first love was, right? Because kindergarten love, it lasts forever, right? Like, I thought it was head over heels in love, and me and Heather were going to spend the rest of our lives together. So much so, it was worth getting in trouble holding hands in music class and getting sent to the principal's office and getting swats. We were going to be together forever. Well, until it was Gabe's birthday party. We're watching Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Anybody remember that movie? I do. Because you know what happened during that movie? Heather Bumpus showed up to bring Gabe a birthday present. And then she said, "Can we talk?" And that's when she let me know that she would no longer, that her and her parents were moving and that she would no longer be going to school. I came back in and the credits were on. And Bryan Adams, he was singing out with his loud voice. "Look into my eyes, you will see there's nothing there for me. Such a heart, such a I'd fight for you." And I sat there with tears rolling down my face. Because I thought my first love was gone. Truth is, I had no clue what love is. Until I met my wife, Mandy Vogel, in Bible college. If we truly think about what love is through the lens of this scripture, when we think about the love that God has actually showed us, right? Then it's not, well, I love that flower. I love that burger. I love that steak, right? It's not even I love that car. The love that God showed for us, what, like really, you're willing to lay down your life for that car? Oh, well, probably not. Really, that car is willing to lay down its life for you, right? When you look at what God's love is, and you know that you're loved by God, you live a little bit differently. You act a little bit differently. You don't just walk into school. You don't just walk into work. You just don't walk into church just wondering, do I measure up? What do I need to do to fit into this place? You can walk in with your head held high and know that I'm fully loved. God has paid the ultimate price for me. No matter who is in here and what they have to say about that, I've been chosen. It's been reported that for decades that confident people smile more, that they stand taller, that they're even more attractive socially. Why? Because love gives you confidence. When you know that you're loved, when you know that somebody cares about you, when you know that you're accepted, it gives you confidence. You can walk in. Can we walk into school, students, with some confidence? Not because of our new kicks, right? Not because of what we're wearing or the awesome orange truck that we're driving. Not because of our parking spot that got painted all pretty this past week. Go seniors, right? Those parking spots look good. But that's not why you're walking with your head held high. You're not walking with your head held high because so-and-so likes you. You're walking because the love of God is the love that gives you confidence. Parents, though, that's not enough. Our kids trying to memorize a verse here today. To know that, they need to see that love modeled at home. They need to learn how God is loving you and how we love God back in return. Could we be honest, though? Some of us show up with more passion even for a preseason football game on Instagram than we do for Jesus. And our love, the love for the God that we serve, does that help us live with some purpose? Third point, though, is our true identity is in Christ. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says, "Set your hearts on things above. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God." Set your hearts on things above. Now, parents, I'm not telling your kids that their GPA doesn't matter, but it doesn't define them. Your job doesn't define you. Your past, your mistakes, Even your accomplishments. Your body doesn't define you. Your popularity doesn't define you. See, many times we think our identity can be in the things that we achieve, the things that we conquer. But what if our identity isn't something we achieve, but it's something that we actually receive? Do we understand that? That our identity isn't something we achieve, it's something that we receive. Not only did he create you, like we've already covered, but when we've decided to surrender our lives back to him. When we're in Christ, Scripture talks about how our old life is dead. The person that we once were, the drama, the guilt, the shame, the insecurity, that it can be gone. And we can receive his grace. We can receive his love. We can receive his goodness. So when you're in Christ, the old life is dead. This generation and every generation has always been desperate for their identity, and they try to find it in friends and followers and filters and fashion. But what if we raised a generation of students who just simply knew that I don't need the world's approval because I already have God's affirmation? I don't have to fit into the box of this world. I don't have to go from boyfriend to boyfriend to boyfriend to feel important, to feel loved. I don't have to jump from girl to girl to girl, in and out of relationships, like it's the flavor of the month. What if we as parents, as grandparents, as spiritual mentors, because there's kids that need adopted in here as well, need some spiritual guidance. As teachers, as equippers, that invest in the next generation, not just providing a babysitting environment in a nursery or in a pre-K or in an innovation kids room, but we have people that actually care about the next generation. That our affirmation isn't found in the things of this world, but by the purpose that God has to offer. What if as parents, we stopped asking kids what they want to be when they grow up? Instead of just the, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? The astronaut, the spaceman, right? There's all types of things that get answered. But what if we begin to reframe that question and start to ask them, who is God calling you to become? Teach them that they can hear the voice of God, that they can, just like our camp theme this entire year, be still and know that he is God. And that we as parents are going to do everything that we can to get them into places where they can be still. Not to where they can be so busy. What do you want to become? Well, I want to become this next amazing baseball star, or this next football star, or this track star, or this scientist. But what is God calling you to be? How has he shaped you? How has he designed you? What passions has he put inside of you? How has he made you? See, when we begin to just flip our vernacular just a little bit and connect it to the God that made us, maybe we stop chasing after the things of this world to identify us. Stop trying to let this world be the things that define who we are. And we begin to realize that there's a God who loves us, that chose us before the creation of the world, that the love that he created us in, he's asking us to love him with our heart, with our soul, with our mind. That we love because he first loved us. That our identity isn't something that we're trying to achieve. It's something that we receive. We receive it from him. So who is God calling us to become? That's not just a question for those that are under 18 in the room, though. It's probably for those that are under 81. Did I cover all that well? Right? No. Sorry, Mr. Winger. But who is God calling you to become, even after 81? Right? Because he doesn't forget about any age. And he's always shaping. He's always forming. He's always molding us. And he's always willing to let us place ourselves back in his hands. I was excited that as the new Innovation Kids room was open, like we focused a ton, obviously, on the structure. And then we forgot to clean the carpets. And so we're sorry about that. Hopefully in the next week or so. But it's okay because I saw that their craft today was with Play-Doh. And so I think we're going to have some more to clean up out of the carpets. And so, but I was excited to see that they were going to be shaping and forming because that's what God is still doing with us. Are we still pliable? Or do we still think, or do we now, we know we have it all together, right? Because we have the brands that define us. We have our favorite teams. We have our set schedule and our set routine. But when we do life on purpose, do we slow down and ask what God is still wanting us to become? What he's still shaping and molding? Because I don't believe that he stopped that in the womb. I believe he's still doing a work in us, if we'll let him. I know he still loves us. With the reckless kind of love that has been paid for us. But at the beginning of every day, we're getting up out of bed, right? Some of us it's faster than others, right? And we're laying there. Oh, that feels good. And the alarm goes off. Do we begin to think about how bad of a day it's going to be? Oh, it's Monday. Oh, I got to get up. I got to do this. I got to do this. We start beginning to think about the list. We begin to think about the pains of what it's going to feel like getting up. Or do we roll up and realize that this is the day that the Lord has made? We're going to rejoice, be glad in it. That we're going to stand in his love today. And that the fear that we may have, because we live in a fear-ridden world, and there's plenty of things to be afraid of. Are we going to, like the scripture said, set our minds, set our hearts? Are we going to look at things above instead of things on this earth? Say, all right, God, I'm going to stand up in your love today. Whatever fear, whatever the right side's saying, whatever the left side's saying, it doesn't stand a chance today. Whatever test I may have, whatever friends are my friends today or not my friends today, what if each morning we woke up knowing that we're loved, knowing that we're chosen, knowing that the reason that we have breath in our lungs is because God's not done with us yet. Because if we're not dead, then he's not done. What if we reminded ourselves of that each and every day? What if it wasn't, oh, it's Monday, but I'm loved. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, God, for choosing me. For August 11th, to be the man or woman of God that gets to walk into this job, shine a light for you, to live a life that's full of purpose, to love on these grandkids, to go wake up these kids, to go teach these kids art. And God, thank you for choosing me and placing me here on this earth. Not just like, oh God, I loved, I'm chosen, I'm God, thank you, God. What if we were reminding our kids that they're loved and chosen, formed by God? What if we're reminding our spouse? What if we're stop looking for our worth in all the wrong places, right? Like the first thing that we open is our social media. How many likes did I get on my picture last night? Hearts. Did anybody reshare it? Because it was really good. The lighting was just right. On my dinner, it was less than 300 calories. Did anybody cheer me on and say, good job? eating all that asparagus. What if we're not? We stop looking for worth in all the wrong places. The world's always looking and saying, what can you do? And God says, look at what I already did for you, because I love you. Let's get up and let's live this life on purpose. What if each and every day that we get to help somebody else believe that? That we're the one that speaks life, that God has spoken to us. What if we're the ones that speak purpose, because we know that we have a purpose? What if we're the ones speaking God's truth, even when it's awkward? When someone in your school is down, on your team, on your line, in your class, your waitress, they need to know what you know. Remember, last week we talked all about that 67%. See, we were made on purpose for a purpose. And I'm glad to be able to stand up here and say that that purpose started with a person. It started with Jesus Christ. He paid the ultimate price for me and for you. So part of knowing who you are is knowing whose you are. And if you don't know that today, then I want to make it nice and clear. Today is not about, do you go to church? Not how much do you know about God and can you prove it? It's simply Romans 5:8, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That means he didn't wait for you to get your act together, right? He didn't wait for you to believe in him. He came to clean it up for you. So today, just like every week, if there's those of you that are here today that are ready to step into your true identity, so that in life you're not walking around wondering what to do, how to do, when to do it, but you want to be able to walk around with the confidence, knowing that there's a God that loves you, who's called you according to his plans and his purposes for you, that he shaped you, that he formed you in your mother's womb, and that he's not holding your past against you. He's ready to walk with you into your future. If that's you and you're here today, then I want to say a prayer with you. So if we all could bow our heads, close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person that's here today. God, you paid the ultimate price for each and every one of us. God, I thank you that there's many in here that know that, that have accepted that, and that can walk in confidence. And I thank you for this reminder today, that as we walk into this next school season, as we walk into work tomorrow, as we walk into retirement, that you're there with us, leading us, guiding us each and every step of the way. Help us find our identity in you and you alone, and not in the things of this world. But if you're here today, and if you want to receive Jesus, you want to step into your true identity, then we like to say a simple starting line prayer, a simple come to Jesus, a simple turning your life over to him, declaring, making him your Lord and Savior. And so if you're here today, and if you've never done that, maybe you've even said a prayer, but you've never meant it, would you repeat this prayer after me? Don't worry, you're not repeating it by yourself. I actually ask that everybody in the room say it, because when you walked into this place, you walked past a sign that says, we're better together. We believe as a church that we walk this faith journey out together. And so we start this journey out together with those that are saying it for the first time. And so if you're here today, ready to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you pray this prayer in church? Would you pray it along with them? Say, Jesus, I believe you love me. I believe you died for me. I believe that you rose again. Today, I give you my life. And I ask that you forgive me of my sins, that you change me, Would you lead me? I'm ready to live life on purpose with you. If you just prayed that prayer, church, would you welcome them into the family of God today?